This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at HowieCarShow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Another high-profile Democrat called out for flouting COVID rules. This time it's Stacey Abrams, pictured maskless in this now-deleted photo, surrounded by masked little children.
Look at this photograph.
We're all in the picture.
What picture?
Picture.
Are pictures in there?
What?
I cannot believe this.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Why not reopen the Keystone Pipeline and reopen federal leases on U.S. land? Because we had energy independence, and that was a large leverage for the United States over Russia.
Good question.
Let's just move on.
And those who are the food police for me, they can food police all the time.
Too much pie, that's your problem.
Listen, I'm not doing that. That's noise to me. I got to get New Yorkers to eat a plant-based-scented life.
And then, of course, there's Mom, who sounds something like this. Eat your vegetables. Take a sweater.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Reading now from the Daily Mail. It would take a heart of stone not to laugh at this. Vindicated. That's his word. Vindicated Andrew Cuomo says he regrets resigning over bogus sex pest probe. Who are you going to believe, him or those 11 lying women? And won't rule out running for New York governor again. Talk about massive delusions. Blasts Attorney General Letitia James. She's the one who issued the report and claims turmoil at CNN is her collateral damage. That's even better. I mean, she deserves two awards if she took out Cuomo and CNN. Cuomo resigned. I'm just reading the headline, the subheads. Cuomo resigned last year after Attorney General Letitia James released her report on his harassment. She claimed he was a serial sexual harasser. He's denied the claim. Now he says he shouldn't have bowed to public pressure to resign. Well, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. That's, I believe, another Democrat said that, Harry S. Truman. His brother Chris was fired from CNN for helping him through the scandal. In his revenge, Chris outed CNN President Jeff Zucker for his affair. Now all three men are unemployed and Cuomo blames. Again, congratulations, Letitia. All three men are out of a job, and Cuomo blames it on the AG's report. He says he won't rule out running again, but not until after James has been exposed for going after him. Now, all those women testified under oath, so I guess did they all lie under oath? Would you like to see them indicted for perjury? 844-500-4242. I just got to play some Don Lemon cuts. You know, Jeff Zucker is out at CNN, and Don Lemon is very sad about that. Cut 14.
Jeff Zucker may not have launched this network, but he revived it. He made it relevant again. He steadied it for the last decade. He left us with a very good blueprint going forward. So for all of you at home watching, you should know that I and my colleagues will continue to do exactly what he would want us to do. And that is
make
to do what I'm
up.
Going to do right now. Deliver the news, no matter what it is, without fear or favor.
Oh.
So thank you, Jeff Zucker, for everything you did for everyone at this network. And for what you did to the entire country, for the entire country.
What he did to the entire country.
Let's just move on. Good evening, everyone. I'm Don Lemon. And this is CNN.
This is CNN.
So tonight, did you ever think...
That's enough of that. He steadied the network. He steadied it. It's like throwing an anchor off of a boat. The anchor sinks to the bottom. And it's steady. It's steady forever. He steadied the network. I got to play more. Cut 12.
So, everyone, have a personal message that I want to deliver at the top of the show. And
thank you.
One second.
I want a personal memo. Personal.
A lot of folks have been watching, wondering what's happening. It's been a really tough day today. And a tough few days for us here at CNN all week.
He needs
really.
A Brandy Alexander.
Want to talk about it until tonight. So the truth is that we're all heartbroken because we lost our leader here. We lost the man who was the backbone, the glue, and the spirit of this company. The man who I personally credit with changing my life, a man who believed in me when nobody else did. He is the reason that you have a gay black man with 2 hours of prime time, a show with my name on it. The only anchor of color in primetime cable news. Think about that. You want to talk about diversity? Here it is.
Is that because Don Lemon had some dirt on Jeff Zucker, too?
How's that lawsuit going? The guy is the bartender on Long Island is charged you with putting his hand down his pants. How's that lawsuit going, Don Lemon? Cut 13.
It has been hard to come into work this week, not only for me, but for so many
hangover
of us here at CNN, my colleagues, 3,000 of us, more than 3,000 of us. So let me just say this to my colleagues who may not have been here as long as I have, the younger folks who haven't weathered these storms. I've been at this network for almost 16 years. We have been through ups and downs, ratings highs, rating lows, everything, regime changes. We've been through a lot. And through it all, our mission has remained the same, to deliver the facts,
fake
to deliver
news.
The news.
Very fake
It
news.
Is what we did when Ted Turner turned the lights on here. It is what we did through two Gulf Wars, through 9/11, through Katrina, through an insurrection.
Through an insurrection. Oh. How have you weathered it? Did you get some combat medals, some ribbons, some Distinguished Service Crosses, Don Lemon? Wow. 844-500-42. And you know, another tragedy that CNN had to weather this week is another one of their great all-time idols, one of their mentors, for whom they were all acolytes. And I refer, of course, to now twice convicted felon Michael Avenatti, was convicted on Friday afternoon. And it wasn't just CNN, it was all the media who loved Michael Avenatti. Cut 24.
He's Donald Trump's worst nightmare, Michael Avenatti.
Joining us once again is Michael Avenatti.
Let's bring in Michael Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti, thank you very much.
He's out there saving the country.
Don Meacham says he may be the savior of the republic.
You are something of a folk hero now.
I owe Michael Avenatti an apology. I've been saying enough already, Michael. I've seen you everywhere. What do you have left to say? I was wrong, brother. You have a lot to say.
I am just dying to hear what you think.
These people all like you.
I'm the only person right here Donald Trump fears more than Robert Miller.
We think you guys are the tip of the spear that's going to take down Donald Trump.
Michael Avenatti's a beast.
Okay, that's true.
And
he's a beast.
He's a beast.
I hand it to her, and I hand it to Michael Avenatti.
But he has a great, bigger calling here, that being a lawyer is minimal compared to what he's doing.
No one has talked tougher directly to Donald Trump on TV than Michael Avenatti, and Donald Trump is afraid to mention his name.
It's hard to know which of those people is dumbest out of all of them. Talking tough on TV to Donald Trump. Boy, that took a lot of stones, huh? Wow. What a collection. Patrick, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Patrick.
Howie, I can tell you who's dumber, Lynn Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And finally, the Republican Party's catching on. Last week, they were censured by the RNC.
Right.
And in my opinion, they should have even gone further because they could have kicked him out of the Republican caucus. And they could have included a couple other names like Fred Upton and Bill Cassidy and Lisa
Casco. Gonzalez from Ohio. There were 10 of them all together, right?
Plus the ones in the I think of the five in the Senate that voted to
right.
To convict. They should have gotten the whole family.
Willard, Murkowski, who else? I forget who else. You see, Murkowski was endorsed by Joe Manchin this weekend. She's a quote unquote Republican, and he's a quote unquote Democrat. But birds of a feather are flying together. Although I appreciate Manchin voting against Build Back Better and the Voting Fraud Rights Act. So I'm happy about that one. Let's play one more Michael Avenatti cut before we go to the break here. Again, just think to yourself, which of these people is dumber? Some of the voices you recognize, some of them you don't. But boy, they all are below average when it comes to IQ. You'll never see any of these people at a Mensa meeting. Cut 25.
That's fascinating. Donald Trump is terrified of Michael Avenatti.
He gives Trump a run for his money more than anybody else, Michael Avenatti.
An existential threat to the Trump presidency.
The Democrats could learn something for you. You are messing with Trump a lot more than they are.
He has no doubt created sheer panic in Donald Trump's very fragile mind.
Michael Avenatti is laying down the law as guest co-host. And is he really thinking about running for president?
One reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news.
You look at the field of Democrats right now, and Avenatti's the one who stands out.
If they decide they value a fighter most,
yes,
people would be foolish to underestimate Michael Avenatti.
I have always said that they need a fighter.
Look, I mean, we're going to continue to use the media. I think we've used it with great success.
They need a fighter. Very fragile minds. Did you hear that phrase? Very fragile minds. You know the kind of minds that think Bob Mueller's name is Bob Miller. All right. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back and take your calls. We always talk about what we want to do differently this new year, but not so much how we're going to accomplish it. Let's face it, right now, if it's not easy, it's not happening. My secret to staying on track with my goals, HelloFresh. You got any new recipes coming this week? Any new menu items?
Valentine's Day is coming up, and if anybody wants to make a good impression on their significant other, or maybe it's just a first date night, HelloFresh is certainly a good way to go. Invite them over the house, or maybe surprise your loved one by making dinner. It might be a really fancy-looking dinner, but it's can be your secret that it really didn't take all that much brains or fortitude to come up with, because HelloFresh really does make it that easy. Stuff like beef tenderloin with truffle mash is on the menu for next week, chicken sausage rigatoni, miso sesame shrimp and bacon ramen sounds pretty good too. These are all like complex sounding recipes that really can be made in 15, 20, 25 minutes by even the simplest of kitchen dwellers like myself.
And you don't have to go to the supermarket and confront those empty shelves and all the rest of the nonsense now with all these problems. HelloFresh offers you delicious recipes and convenient doorstep delivery to take the hassle out of mealtime and save you hours at the grocery store. With farm fresh produce plus calorie smart and carb smart recipe options both, HelloFresh makes it easier than ever to eat well. I and Taylor and Grace can take our pick from 50 menu and market items each week. You can even customize your box by switching proteins and swapping sides for meals that work for you and your family, even if they're finicky eaters. Plus, it's a cinch to skip a week, change your delivery date, or update your preferences right from the HelloFresh app. Their chefs really know how to warm up these long winter nights with comforting dishes from around the world, like, as Taylor was just mentioning, juicy beef tenderloin with cheese fondue that I can whip up in my own kitchen. This year, I've traded my takeout habit for easy-to-prepare meals from HelloFresh and have fallen in love with cooking at home again. And you can, too. Get started today at HelloFresh.com/Howie16 and use code Howie16 for 16 free meals plus 3 gifts. That's code Howie16 for 16 free meals and 3 free gifts at HelloFresh.com/Howie16. HelloFresh.com/Howie16. I'm Howie Carr.
Why do we have the jump line? Well, because we can't be serious all the time.
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest man.
The jump line, weekdays at 5, right here on The Howie Carr Show.
That's the Democratic Party for you.
I've written to Washington about it.
What do you want to write to Washington for? He's dead.
Howie Carr is back.
Headline in the New York Post, Adams, Hochul, governor and mayor, pressed to lift school mask mandates following New Jersey decision. How about the Connecticut decision? How about the Delaware decision? How about the decision by the Virginia Supreme Court that Governor Youngkin could lift the mask mandates and not have to worry about a bunch of Karens trying to stop him. I'll tell you though, you know, if Adams, when the kids get to the lunchroom on Friday and they see only a vegan menu, they're going to ask to put the mask back on. For all you last-minute Valentine's shoppers living life on the edge, knock out your order today with 1-800-Flowers. Get 24 assorted roses for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for just $10 more. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results?
Why are you not watching the Winter Olympics? Is it because of political protest, they're too boring, or you are watching?
They're too boring.
38% agree that they're too boring. 59% say it's political protest. Only 3% say they are viewing.
There's no need to virtue signal. You know, we didn't give you the option of saying both because we know that it's one more than the other. And I think for most people, it's just too boring. People are going to watch the Super Bowl even though the halftime show is going to be offensive, right? Because you're kind of interested. It's the last game till Labor Day, basically.
Halftime show always meant to me refill time.
Yeah, exactly. Turner Classic Movies usually has a good movie on counter-programming. That's the term, you know. You lead with your best stuff when you're going up against something that, you know, is going to turn people off in a big way. Zebra, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Zebra.
Thanks for taking the call, Howie. I'm just laughing hysterically because all these heroes that you were playing, Avenatti, Zucker, and Don Lamone tripping over himself.
The Cuomos. You know,
I'm just thinking to myself, I'm listening to these guys cry in their towel about that the dawn came up and showed them from what they were in the sunlight. I need the soundtrack, maybe Taylor can get this, the soundtrack of Frank Sinatra singing That's Life.
Riding High in April, Shot Down in May.
You got it. It's like, wah, 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 crying your beers. It's like, you know, hey, that's life. That's tough break. You got found out. They are such shams. The only real sad part about it is that the people that keep on getting these new, the next best flavor, never learn their lesson about jumping the shark. They just keep getting sucked into the next phony guy, the next scam, like they think we won't remember.
You know, Zebra, I was thinking when I was listening to those Avenatti cuts, there, you know, I know I sound like an old fart for saying this, but there's such an advantage to just starting out laboring in the vineyards. You know, like meeting city councilors and selectmen and county commissioners. And you get to, these people can't spot a phony, it looks like. You know, they just can't do it. And it's not that hard. You know, but they've just led these sheltered lives. They're all legacies. They went to work at Capitol Hill. Nobody ever covered a fire. Nobody ever had to go down to the precinct and pick up the nightly police reports. And they just fall for anything. If you believe in nothing, you'll fall for anything. And that's what these people are all about. It's really a threat to democracy. It really is to have a press corps this ignorant and this corrupt. But on the other hand, it's kind of amusing when you play the cuts back to back like this. 844-500-4242. Did you notice one of them used the word existential? That's really an overused word. I got a column I want to read at some point before the show's over tonight from Peter Funt in the Wall Street Journal last week. Existential is one of those words. I never knew what it meant. I still don't know what the hell it means. That's why I always avoided the word. But it's just become a crutch for feeble-minded journalists and others as well. 844-500-4242. That's life. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Trudeau government vows to criminally target American donors supporting freedom protests for, quote, undermining national security. Wow. Talk about overreaction. Reading from a prepared statement, Justin Trudeau's public safety minister, Marco Mendocino. Isn't Mendocino the name of a mental institution in California? Immortalized by the Sir Douglas Quintet? I believe it is. Maybe not spelled the same way. Marco, I am not a mental institution, Mendocino, stated that the Canadian government intends to target any American who may have donated to the Freedom Convoy protest effort. Apparently, the Canadian government wants to scare Americans away from donating to support the freedom protest in Ottawa. Mendocino identified the Ottawa protest group as a violent hate group. The Ottawa truck drivers were described as loud, angry, intolerant, and violent crowd who threaten the national security of Canada.
Barbaric.
He said Canada has a robust intelligence community. That robust is an overused word by these clowns, like existential. And someone else points out profound is another word they overuse. Smart is too. That's a smart solution to global warming. Everybody freezes to death in the dark. That's their smart solution to global warming, alleged global warming. Because they have the robust intelligence community, that's why I'm certainly confident, that whenever there's foul play of the sort, that we'll be in a position to act appropriately. Wow. These people are crazy. All right, I want to read a few stories here, woke wrap-up. University of Kansas diversity head resigns for plagiarism on MLK Day. The interim vice president for diversity at the University of Kansas, he was only the interim vice provost, has resigned after acknowledging that a message he sent out to the campus on Martin Luther King Jr. Day was largely plagiarized. D.A. Graham, he's not the district attorney, those were his initials, D.A. Graham. He wasn't just the interim vice provost of diversity, he was also the interim vice provost of equity, inclusion, and belonging. Belonging. Told the Lawrence Journal World, that's where the college is, that he didn't intentionally plagiarize the text. They never do. It was an oversight on my part. I was trying to hurry up and get the message together. Former financial aid director for Reynolds Community College, that's in Virginia, I never heard of it, is charged with stealing nearly $400,000 in student loan funds. The former director of financial aid at Reynolds Community College was indicted by a federal grand jury last week on charges of orchestrating a scheme spanning 8 years that defrauded Virginia and the U.S. Department of Education of $380,000 in federal and state student loan funds. Keisha LaShawn Pope, 47, is accused of using her access to the college's financial aid systems to boost the financial aid eligibility for several co-conspirators, her son, her former fiancé, her goddaughter, and a cousin, none of whom were eligible for aid at the college. She had kickback agreements in place with the co-conspirators, so she was taking kickbacks from members of her own family. I wonder if they turned on her. That's been a problem in my experience with co-conspirators in your family. They'll rat you out quicker. You could just ask the late Nikki Pockets Mavroulis, the congressman. He ratted out his bag man, which was his son-in-law, and then the son-in-law fingered him for the feds. She had a kickback in place to receive roughly half of the illegally obtained funds as compensation, which she used for personal expenses that included, you stop me if you've heard this one before, car repairs, retail shopping, and expenses for her minor-aged daughter. Oh, no, that's sad. Try not to let that destroy your faith in the integrity of the higher education system. Try not to let this one destroy your faith in the integrity of the Democrat Socialists of America. The first declared candidate for one of New York's proposed new state Senate districts is a socialist from Queens with a decidedly capitalist job. See, they redistricted in New York State, and upstate, everyone has fled and gone to Florida or Tennessee, someplace with no taxes. But New York City has filled up with illegal aliens, even as the taxpayers flee, the indigents from the third world come in, so they're getting extra Senate seats. Kristen Gonzalez Wright is a product manager for American Express. This is the socialist. But the 26-year-old, I guess she's a new AOC, scrubbed any trace of that work from her online presence, deleting her LinkedIn and locking her Facebook account. And her campaign website and Twitter account make no mention of her employment with the financial giant, Amex, which reported $9.8 billion in interest and $4.6 billion in credit card fees in 2020. Gonzalez, she's from a hardscrabble background. Gonzalez grew up in Elmhurst, that's in Queens, I believe. And she attended the elite Dalton School, a private high school, on scholarship. She then went to Columbia University, where she majored in political science and ethnicity and race studies because of her deprived background at the Dalton School, you know, and then an Ivy League education. And she attended an information session hosted by a Goldman Sachs manager directly for students interested in finance. Nowadays, the socialist lives high above the proletariat in a 58-story luxury office building in Long Island, Queens, where rents range from $2,700 to $6,400. Her campaign says, quote, "She's a working-class kid from Queens who made it, and she makes no apologies for it. The deck is stacked against the working class." Well, if they can check the right boxes, I dare say the deck is not actually stacked against the working class. And to call her a member of the working class is a bit of a reach, I would say, given her background. All right, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Who does this financial aid officer think she is, a Biden? Yeah. $400,000. It's not bad. Not bad. Okay, this is from Peter Funt. I think he's the son of Alan Funt from Candid Camera. He's a pretty funny columnist for the Wall Street Journal, and he's written some books himself. But he's talked about this word existential. It's one of these words that everybody uses, but nobody really knows what it means, as far as I can see. And again, as I said, I remember reading it. I think I was a senior at Deerfield Academy. I don't know if we were like, you know, reading the play Waiting for Godot or something like that, but somebody said I read in something in an English class, it was an existential work. And I looked up what the word meant in the dictionary because I didn't know what it meant. And I read the definition and it still made no sense to me. And it still, after all these years, makes no sense to me. I don't know what it means. But apparently I'm the only one because everybody else uses it, as Peter Funt says. Why are writers and politicians today trying so hard to shoehorn the word existential into sentences? NASA administrator Bill Nelson said the other day that, quote, climate change is the existential threat of our times. The New York Times editorialized that Donald Trump and his supporters pose an existential threat to the republic. Scientific American declared that wildlifes are putting giant sequoias at existential risk. I guess it's a right-wing threat in some ways, you know, whether it's a fire or Trump or climate change. It's all right-wing, right? A Barron's headline read, "Bitcoin is facing an existential crisis." So I guess it's not always Trump people. Bloomberg Law wrote, "Wall Street ends crazy year with existential angst." Axios reports there are existential states in the debate over voting rights. Then, too, Axios tells us that COVID has, quote, has presented an existential challenge to live music. Existential, says Peter Funt, means relating to human existence and experience. Now you see why I didn't know what the hell it meant. What does that mean? What does that mean, relating to human existence and experience? So eating is existential. Driving a car is existential. Riding a bike, taking a walk, making the bed, taking out the trash, walking the dog. It all relates to human existence and experience, does it not? So it could be said that all the above are existential applications of the term. In writing about the film The Card Counter, Michael Ordana of the LA Times cited an existential hero as well as existential dread. Well, if you're an existential hero, probably you face existential dread, except when something good happens, which could be existential ecstasy, I guess.
Donald Trump does pose an existential threat to this. It's not hypothetical, his threat to this nation.
Very good, Taylor. I don't think I remember that one. That's a good. Can I hear that one again?
Donald Trump does pose an existential threat to this. It's not hypothetical, his threat to this nation.
Not hypothetical. Existential, of course,
that was one of his Foster Brooks moments where he tries a word a couple of times and gives up on it and just completely changes to another word.
Existential, of course, is linked to existentialism, a focus of Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard. Again, another reason why I didn't go near this word ever in my life. As he described it,
hearing a lot of names I haven't heard since college.
Existentialism, quote, is a rejection of all purely abstract thinking of a purely logical or scientific philosophy. In short, a rejection of the absoluteness of reason. Again, more reasons why I don't use this word. What does that mean? Thus, we find a writer for The Atlantic noting recently, politics seems more existential, not less. And last month, Pope Francis described the Christian faith as an existential journey. Referring to climate change, Kamala Harris said in a debate that it is an existential threat to us as human beings. Well, since it relates to the existence of human beings, then if it's a threat, it would be an existential threat. And since it relates to human beings, then it could only be a threat to human beings, since it's existential, right? According to Webster, lookups of the word spiked 8,000% after she used it in a debate against Mike Pence. Lately, some journalists simply won't leave existential alone. The Journal had a very tasty story about how the Food and Drug Administration is tossing its definition of French dressing. To the writer's credit, their report was entirely existential-free, but then Yahoo picked up the story and fashioned its own headline. French dressing faces an existential crisis. Existential crisis! We are, I fear, becoming the boy who cried existential.
Donald Trump does pose an existential threat to this.
508 says, that's definitely exponential, Joe. No, that's exponential.
You know, it also increases exponentially the prospect of...
He keeps coming back to exponential, but he gave up. I haven't heard him try to say existential once since he had to switch to hypothetical.
This is a challenge of our collective lifetimes. The existential threat to human existence as we know it.
Is it an existential threat or a threat?
He still can't get it right.
He almost got it right, but it confused the next word.
The existential threat.
I think he left out the S too. He said existential.
Threat.
The existential threat.
Threat. For all you last-minute Valentine's Day shoppers living life on the edge, this friendly reminder is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers.com. Valentine's Day is here, basically.
Yeah, if you cheap out on flowers, you're facing an existential threat.
It's really a threat. It's a threat to your love life. and every other part of your life, your existential existence. Don't be the person that wakes up in sheer existential terror because you forgot. Knock this out of the park today and lock in your order with 1-800-FLOWERS. Right now, 1-800-FLOWERS has an amazing offer for my listeners. Get 24 assorted roses for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. This is a great last-minute deal. The love of your life will love these flowers if they're delivered to her office. And she can show them off. And the thing is, they stay fresh for a long time because they're picked at the peak of their freshness. They're just it's just a great, great product. The mailroom managers are still hanging in there after almost a week. Whether it's an abundant bouquet of assorted flowers or the timeless red roses, you cannot go wrong with 1-800-FLOWERS. All roses from 1-800-FLOWERS are picked at their peak, cared for every step of the way, and shipped fresh to ensure lasting beauty. Think ahead this year and get 24 assorted roses for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for just $10 more. Bouquets are selling fast and delivery dates are limited, so lock in your order now to ensure a Valentine's delivery. Get right to the romance this Valentine's and find the way to wow with 1-800-FLOWERS.com. To order 24 assorted roses for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for just $10 more, go to 1-800-FLOWERS.com. Click the radio icon and enter code Howie. That's 1-800-FLOWERS.com, code Howie. Hurry, offer expires Wednesday. You're running out of time. This is an existential threat to your love life. I'm Howie Carr.
He only steals from the very best.
The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Howie Carr returns after this.
Either I'm dead right or I'm crazy.
You wouldn't care to put that to a vote, would you, Senator?
The Howie Carr Show.
603, do you also not know what existence means? Just because you are a moron doesn't mean everyone is. I know what it means. I was sitting at a bar on Saturday night, and it was 6 o'clock, and I was waiting for the UNC-Duke game to start on TV. And the woman next to me said to the bartender, "Can you switch it over to the Olympics?" That represented an existential threat to my plans to watch the game on TV. But fortunately, there was a second TV, so we switched it over to Carolina Duke, and then Duke presented an existential threat to Carolina's chances to win the game and kick their asses by 20 points. So I know what existential means. Don't tell me I don't. Tommy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, Howie. Hello,
yes.
Hello, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Hey, I'd like to know, Michelle Wu was on WBUR, and she's saying pretty much anybody who criticizes her policies, she's trying to make it into this racist thing. Now, since when did, you challenge somebody's policies, it's automatically racist? Like, for years, I took on Mumbles Menino, right? I was constantly letters to the editor. I didn't think he had good policies, and I didn't even dislike him as a person.
It's one of the last refuges of a scoundrel, isn't it, Tommy, to throw the racism charge around? They used to say patriotism was the last refuge of a scoundrel. Now it's racism. It's ridiculous. I mean, she can't make this claim, but she is. And, you know, they did this story today about I think they were also saying that the people that are outside her house demonstrating are racist. But a large number of them are not white. Now, are they racist, too? 844-500-4242. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.